Good evening, everyone. There we go. All right. Turner and Tez and Dre and Anthony, they're going to pass out some paper. Everyone needs one paper. And if you need a pen, they've got a box of pens that they're going to bring around, too. There's pens in the back of the pew, too, or if you have one. But everyone's going to need a paper for tonight. Because tonight's a little bit different. I'm not going to do all the talking. And you're not really going to do talking either, but you're going to do some thinking and some writing down with an activity we got. Every year in January, the youth group goes on a trip to Evangelism University. And typically, the Sunday night lesson after EU, I do based on that weekend. The past few years, it's been what I've learned or how I've been encouraged. This year, though, was a little bit different. I decided to just take, they asked me to do a class there, and it actually related to what I was talking about this morning. And so I decided we're gonna do that class here as well for the Sunday evening. And this title was not I did not come up with this, unfortunately. I wish I had. One of the youth ministers that's in charge of that youth conference knew about this story in my growing up years, and he's like, okay, this is a great title I'm going to put on this class, and you're going to teach it, Noah. So that's how the title came about. So I'm going to share a little story about me that some of you have heard, some of you may not have, but then we're going to get into the activity. Because what I hope from tonight is that we're going to do a little bit of self-evaluation, a little bit of thinking about ourselves, and that can help us out the rest of the year. So, how mission work with a monkey prepared me for evangelism. The idea behind EU, Evangelism University, is a few different things. One is to give teenagers tools to share their faith, but part of the classes are just there to kind of motivate and to help teenagers see the need to do that. That was kind of the mission given to me in this class. Was more about motivation. And so they asked me to share this story from my growing up years and use that to motivate teenagers. Well, as I thought more about the story, I thought, how am I going to do this? This is a weird story that very few people can relate to. But this activity we're going to do tonight, hopefully, will tie into that, and you'll see how that happens. So very, very briefly, a little bit about me. Let me back up a little bit. In mission work, which my parents did, you often will have interns, people studying how to be a missionary, that will come during the summer. Very similar to how you might have a preaching intern or a youth ministry intern. A lot of congregations will do that. I did that all 3 years that I was in college. Every summer I'd go work at a church to learn how to do what I do now. So that happens in mission work as well. Well, one summer, this guy came to be an intern with my parents and study mission work. And he had this dream. This dream was he always wanted to own a pet monkey, which is challenging when you live in the States. But when you come to Africa, you know, dreams come true. Well, where we lived in Zambia, there weren't a lot of wildlife. It wasn't like there were elephants and rhinos and lions everywhere. Those were all in the national parks. But there was a few small wildlife that was left, like little antelope. Every once in a while, you'd find a little monkey. And a villager in the area had caught this monkey. It's a vervet monkey, a little bitty one. And he had taken out its canine teeth, so it really couldn't hunt anymore, but it also couldn't hurt him. And he had domesticated-ish the monkey. You can't really domesticate monkeys, but to the extent you can, this villager had done that. Well, this guy comes for the summer. He meets this villager who has this monkey, and he's like, this is my chance to have my dream fulfilled. Can I buy your monkey? Of course, the guy's like, yeah, absolutely, you can buy my monkey. I don't know what he charged him for it, but he buys this monkey. The problem with interns is that when the summer's over, they go home. So guess who inherited the monkey? My family. We inherited a monkey we did not want or plan for or ever intend to have. And so here she is. Her name was Mildred, This was my dad's idea. He named it after an elder's wife back in Tennessee. So, I hope there's no hard feelings there. We called her Millie for short, Millie the monkey. She was cute. She was adorable. And yeah, monkeys like bananas. That's not a myth. And we got to know Millie, and we loved Millie. Millie really was a good pet. She would live in the trees above our house, but we would feed her, and she really couldn't hunt because those teeth had been taken out. So she was pretty attached to us. And so she'd you know, play around and kind of roughhouse with us a little bit and then go do her thing, and we'd see her in the mornings and the evenings. Her best friend, well, there were no other monkeys around, so her best friends were our three cats. That's the closest thing, I guess, to a monkey she could find. I mean, she'd pick through their fur just like, you know, monkeys do. So it was pretty cute. Her next best friend was my dad. In the morning, he'd be drinking his coffee, and she'd sit on his shoulder and pick through his beard, so in the same way. So we got attached to Millie. She was a great little pet. I think the next, yeah, here's one of me when I was, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, with Millie there. Millie was great. We loved her. Unfortunately, the story is not a happy ending. Like I said, monkeys are not really good pets. She started biting people and attacking people. She couldn't really do a ton of harm, but it still wasn't good. Basically, if you were older or she viewed you as weaker than her, especially if you had food, she was going to attack you. So unfortunately, we had to put Millie down. But for the time that we did have her, she was quite a entertaining and interesting pet. Now, what on earth does this have to do with mission work and evangelism? Well, stories like that are silly and unique. And really, stories like that very rarely happen if you don't choose to do something out of the ordinary. If you don't choose to put yourself in situations that are different. That's where kind of stories like that happen. And so mission work, if you talk to any missionary, I guarantee you they're going to have some bizarre, strange story of some interaction with a person or some random series of events that's kind of just comes in the territory of mission work. Now, this is maybe a fun, silly experience that you get with mission work. But not all mission work is that kind of experience. When you choose to become a missionary, especially to a far-off land, you also choose to take on some other experiences. Included in that is loneliness. You're not going to be close to your family. Is isolation. There may not be anybody like you where you live. You choose to take on possibly persecution depending on where you go. Possibly no running water or electricity. Let's just be honest. You choose to take on less pay. Missionaries don't get paid that much. When you choose to be a missionary, you lose or give up quite a few things. And we often have kind of this image in our mind. My dad made this. I have no idea why. This is a regular photo. He turned black and white and said, missionary family in the early 21st century. It reminds me of one of those pictures of like old settlers back in the day who we don't know their name. And like old settler family in the 1800s, you know. That's kind of what we picture. These people with nothing and they're going out and they're probably going to die. We'll never see them again. But if that's what mission work is, why would anybody ever choose to do it? And the answer is, for as much as you give up to do mission work, it's not what you give up that makes people go and do it. It's what you gain. It's who you go for. These pictures are the reason that people go do mission work. It's the people. It's the souls. It's the fact that there are parts of the world that the church is not strong or not present, and the church needs to be there. It's the fact that there are people who've never heard the gospel, and they need to hear it. And so that is, I think, part of what mission work and a monkey taught me is that if you want to do mission work, you've got to be motivated to do it. You've got to have a drive, a passion to do it, because it is not easy. If you only are looking at the things you're giving up, you're not going to do it or you're not going to stick with it. But if you're looking at the reasons you're there, the motivation behind why you give up what you do, then you will stick with it. We won't all choose to be missionaries. We won't all choose to work in ministry or anything like that. But at the same time, God has called all of us to be missionaries in one sense of the word. We are called to share our faith with all people. And so the question that you have to ask yourself, that I have to ask myself, is really not whether or not we can be motivated to do that or be passionate to do that, but how are we going to use our passions, how are we going to use our motivations to do that, to be evangelistic, to share the gospel. Before we get into the activity, I want to share three important truths that are going to kind of be the foundation of tonight. First, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. We read this a lot, but it's a great verse. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We have all been given the charge to evangelize. If you're a Christian, you can't get around that. However, that doesn't mean you have to do it all the same way. Something that's fascinating to me about Matthew 28 is that Jesus doesn't specify to every single, like to the detail, what each apostle is supposed to do with this charge or what each disciple is supposed to do. He says, here's the mission. Go, teach, baptize. But how you do that, the way you do that, the type of people you do that to, that's up to you. How are you going to do that in your context, wherever you find yourself? And so we need to remember that just because one person does it one way doesn't mean that's necessarily the only way it can be done. There's room for creativity and there's room for personality in the mission of God. The next one doesn't have a verse because it's just common sense. We do not like doing things that we do not like to do. How many of you like doing things you don't like to do? By nature, that's impossible, right? So, if we find ourselves trying to be good Christians, trying to share our faith, and let's just use an example of door knocking. Door knocking, we think, okay, that is the only way I can share my faith. And let's say I hate door knocking, absolutely detest it. What are the odds that I stick with it? Well, they're already much smaller because I don't enjoy it. And even if I do stick with it because of just pure grit and determination, I'm probably not going to do the best job ever. What if I found the things I liked to do, and I found a way to use those to share Jesus, instead of thinking that it's a one-size-fits-all? Which leads us to the third truth. An effective evangelist learns to use their passions to connect people with the gospel. Because really, that's just what evangelism is. All it is bringing people in the gospel together and then letting Jesus do the rest. That's all evangelism is. So if we're supposed to do that as Christians, if that's not an option, why not do that in a way that we enjoy, that we can find motivation in doing? Romans 12, verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. So the Greek word for zeal in verse 11, it means diligence or eagerness or earnestness or even enthusiasm. So, you know, Christians, we know, aren't supposed to be lazy, but also we're not supposed to even be reserved sometimes. There is a place for Christians to be on fire and passionate and motivated about their faith. The word fervor in Romans 12:11 means to boil or to be hot. Your spirit and your soul are supposed to be so intensely eager and passionate about sharing the gospel, about your faith, about God, that it is boiling over. You can't contain it. It's just coming out of you. You have to tell people. That's the picture here in Romans 12:11. And you may be thinking, I don't experience that when it comes to sharing my faith. And I don't always think that it's because we hate God. I mean, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt. I think we all love God. So why is that not happening? And I think sometimes the reason is we're putting our efforts maybe in things that we don't enjoy. And if we would find a way to single out our motivations and what we're interested in and use that to connect people with the gospel, evangelism would never be a chore. It would never be a must. It would be I get to. It would be I enjoy this. It would be this is my mission. This is my life's goal. And so, an effective evangelist learns to use their passions to connect people with the gospel. And so now you've got your papers. And we're gonna fly through this. We could spend a lot more time doing this activity, and hopefully you will later in the week. But I just want to walk through it with you, and you start jotting down some things. Because of this activity, I'm not a psychologist. This is just Noah's brain here. It was helpful for me, and I tested it on some people, and it was helpful for them. So if it's not helpful for you, maybe at least it'll get you to start thinking. So with your paper, on the front, there are four boxes, okay? So in that first box, I want you to think about your top two or three favorite feelings, okay? What are the feelings you enjoy feeling? It could be peace. It could be excitement. It could be calmness or love. What are three of those? Just jot them down real quickly. Because feelings are powerful. They motivate us. And then once you jot those down, pick one that's probably your favorite and write it in that little yellow box under the feelings category. Like I said, we're going to have to fly. I don't want to keep you here all night. But in the next one, in the experiences and memories section, I want you to just write down two experiences or memories that are some of your favorite. It doesn't have to be anything religious necessarily. It could be maybe my baptism or the baptism of my kid. But it could be this vacation or it could be this ball game or something. Just one or two experiences that are really, really fond, that you were really, really fond of. And as you write those down, I want you to think how those two relate. Why are those two experiences so high up on the list for you? And summarize it in one word to put in that yellow box. I'll give you an example. Two of mine that I put were a mission trip to Africa and then EU in the year of 2023. And I've got a bunch of reasons for that, but basically, those were two times in my life where I saw people being transformed. And so my word was transformation. When I see people change for the better, that really excites me. So that was kind of my summary word, transformation. So what's that summary word for those experiences? As you finish up that one, and the next one is the hobby section. I just want you to write down two or three hobbies you enjoy. It could be reading, it could be sports, taking naps. And then don't put your favorite hobby in the yellow box, because I want you to do more of what you did in the last category. Once you have a couple of those, why do you enjoy those? What is one word that would describe that? Maybe it's outdoor activity. That's how you would summarize that. Or maybe it's a break from people. That's what it is. Or maybe it's, I don't know, it's a rush of adrenaline. That's your hobby. How would you summarize why those hobbies are enjoyable to you? And then in the last box, just two or three things you're good at, some strengths of yours. It could be a skill, But it also could just be maybe a soft skill, you know, like listening or talking. It could be a skill like, I don't know, woodworking or ironworking or something, or Microsoft Excel or something. But what are some things that you're good at? And then in that yellow box, just pick one of those that you think would be maybe your best. All right. As y'all finish that, for the sake of time, when I taught this as a class, we broke it down even more to help people just think through it. But for the sake of time, we're going to skip a step. So in that bottom of that first page, there's a long blue box, okay? So here's what I want you to do. All four of those things, that is not the totality of you as a person. But those are four areas of your life that mean something. As humans, we're created to feel. That's important. As humans, we cherish experiences and memories. Those become so dear to us for a reason. We have hobbies. They're just things we like to do. And we're good at something. God created us to be good at something. All those things are a part of who you are. They motivate you. They drive you. Now, we often view those things apart from our faith. However, I think if we would use those things, like Romans 12:11 says, to motivate us so that we would have zeal and fervor in our faith, we could do far more as a Christian than we think. So, like I said, evangelism is just connecting people to the gospel. So in that bottom category, I want you to take those four words you put in the yellow box and write one sentence. How do those relate to people? Now we're not talking about the gospel yet, just people. How do my hobbies and my strengths and my the word that summarizes my experiences, my feelings, how can those relate to people? For example, I'll give you the sentence that I wrote, or the way it relates to people. The gospel provides the very thing I love, which was talking about the feelings that I wanted. Or sorry, I'm skipping ahead. The world and the people in it fascinate me, and I want to talk to them in a way that transforms and provides hope. My four words were hope, transformation, the world, and public speaking, because I guess that's a strength, although I always stumble over my words all the time. But I can talk a little bit. And so I the world fascinates me. I love to feel feelings of hopefulness. I love to see transformation in people. How does that relate to people? People are looking for those things. People are in the world. You have to talk to people. So how do your words relate to people? It takes some thinking, and you may not get it all done tonight. That's okay. How do the things that interest you relate to people? And then as you do that, flip it over. And the last thing we'll do tonight together is in the middle of that back page is another one. I want you to take those same four words in your yellow box. How do they relate to the gospel? So like I said, my favorite feeling is hopefulness. Well, that's actually what the gospel provides. I love experiences that are transformative. Guess what the gospel does? I'm fascinated by the world. That's what my hobbies relate to. The gospel is for all the world. One of my strengths is public speaking. Well, how do you share the gospel? You have to talk to people. So how do those four words relate to the gospel? In just a little summary sentence. And you'll see it at the bottom of the page is a green box. That's going to be the homework for you to think about. Evangelism is connecting people to the gospel. If you can figure out how what you're passionate about and what you're motivated about relates to people, and if you can figure out how it relates to the gospel, all that's left for you to do is figure out how to bring people and the gospel together using those motivations, using those things you're interested in. This morning we talked about four things that we should be able to share as Christians. And that last one was our calling. What are we called to do as Christians? That's a hard one to figure out sometimes. Kind of like, what do you want to do when you grow up? How do you want to serve when you become a Christian? Sometimes that's a daunting question. This activity is hopefully part of us thinking about what is our calling. What are we good at? What do we enjoy? That God created us with certain strengths. He created us with certain personalities and interests. What if we used those to share the gospel with all people? That would be your calling. And so I hope that tonight, I know we had to rush through it, but I hope that it got you thinking a little bit more about you, about how God made you and how God could use you to share your faith. Because if you don't know what your calling is in Christ, while that's okay now, you need to find the answer to that. And then once you figure out how you want to use your talents and your interests to share the gospel, then it's time to do it. You know, at Central, we have a bunch of different opportunities to share the gospel, and they're not all Bible studies and door knocking. There's card writing, there's visiting people, there's making baskets, and then a bunch of other things. One of the reasons that we do all that is to try and include all talents, all strengths, all interests, all motivations, so that anybody can have a part in sharing the gospel. Our job as individuals is to figure out where we fit in best into that picture. Because as a Christian, we don't have an option to not evangelize. We've got to do it. So why not do it to the best of our abilities and in a way that we're passionate and motivated about? So, Mission Work and a Monkey. It's a catchy little title, but at the end of the day, if you're going to be a missionary, and we all are, you have to be motivated to do it, because it's not always easy. It's not always rewarding. But at the end of time, at the end of your life, at the end of this world, it will have been worth it. If you're not a Christian and you need to respond to the gospel tonight, we'd be happy to study with you. If you're ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we would love to do that too. Or if you are a Christian and you need prayers or encouragement, we're here. Please come as we stand and we sing.